This is Radio City Talk.
Paddy Boylan joins me this morning to have a look through some of the papers. Morning, Paddy.
Morning, how are you, Steve?
Right, the Blue Room. The Blue Room. I'm looking on the Blue Room's website after the game at the weekend. And the top piece that's been done here is Elliot Bretland. Evertonians must demand to win rather than expect to lose, is what the headline is. And he starts off talking about how Ronald Koeman said he was proud after the game at the weekend. It was almost Roy Hodgson-esque. I was involved in that Merseyside derby when Roy came out at Goodison Park and he said we were the better team. And Everton had trounced Liverpool that day. Yeah. And I think everyone who watched Ronald speak at the weekend thought, what are you referring to? He got it completely wrong, didn't he?
Yeah, it was an odd comment. And you associate Ronald Koeman with straight talking, honesty. And in that moment, I'm not so sure he followed through on the promise, really.
Did he believe it?
Maybe he was proud of certain youngsters that had come into the fray and had performed, I don't know, adequately. They hadn't completely lost it in the heat of a Merseyside derby. But there's not an awful lot to be proud of, Steve. You're right. I thought they were comprehensively beaten on the day. A class below Liverpool. We spoke off air, didn't we? Who in the Everton team stood out at all? And you struggle to give an Everton man of the match, and that tells you everything you need to know about the game, really, because there was a catalogue of errors from the initial team selection from Ronald Koeman, but then also some of the players in the starting lineup, some no-shows from big names and some youngsters that maybe didn't quite live up to the promise.
Go on, name them. No-shows from who? I mean, I don't think any of the Everton players stood out. I think as a team, they struggled. They didn't look like a team. Liverpool did on the day. But who was it that you think that just didn't perform to their level?
Well, you're looking at your main two up front, aren't you? Ross Barkley and Romelu Lukaku, who came into the game in really decent form, but didn't grab the game by the scruff of the neck at all. How many touches did Romelu Lukaku have? Dejan Lovren seemed to deal with him fairly comfortably, which shouldn't be the case for the Premier League's leading goal scorer, should it?
Well, Lucas and Lovren together, really, wasn't it? It was a twosome, really, that sort of ganged up on him and made sure that he just never saw the ball.
No, that you're right. And I thought that was an area Everton could exploit. So maybe that tells you a bit about, A, how well Lucas and Lovren did in carrying out Klopp's game plan, but B, the fact that Lukaku, for the, I think it's the third time this season, fired a blank in front of goal. No shots on target for the third game this season.
Did he have a shot off target?
I don't think he had a shot.
Did he have a shot? No. I can't remember one.
No, I don't think he did. And that's criminal. You look back on chances in the game and, okay, maybe Liverpool didn't create loads of clear-cut chances, but they were extremely clinical. Can you remember a decent Everton chance? Maybe the ones at the back post for Holgate and Williams where they should have squared the ball. Maybe those two. But aside from that, there wasn't much. And of course, we're giving Romelu Lukaku criticism. You also would have to say that the guys behind him maybe didn't give him the necessary supply line as well. So it's a collective thing. Maybe harsh to single out too many individuals. I also thought Ross Barkley was poor on the day. It's always a mental thing for Ross. It always has been. The ability's there. He's wonderful technically. He's a lovely player to watch on his day. But in these kinds of games, it somehow gets the better of him and he ends up diving into challenges early on. There was one in the first minute, which was a yellow card offence. The referee let it go because I think it was the first minute and he didn't want to set a precedent. If he'd done that, people would have been booked left, right and centre, I think.
I think there was a lot of expectation on Ross to be the man who ran the show in this Merseyside derby. And I saw Dave Downey last week, you know, tweeting a lot, saying this could be the one where Ross stands up and is counted in a derby. And I think he felt personally himself that he needed to step on that pitch and be almost a little bit of the Gerrard-esque figure within the derby. So I think that tackle was very reminiscent of a Gerrard first, second-minute tackle in a Merseyside derby. The problem was the game swamped him. It completely swamped him. And he didn't live up to that hype. And I think that frustrated him even more. He wasn't involved as he should have been in the right areas, in the right ways. And quite how he stayed on the pitch after the tackle on Dejan Lovren, I've no idea whatsoever. And quite a few of the papers are talking about that this morning. James Pearce in the Liverpool Echo writes, Dejan Lovren believes Ross Barkley should have apologised for the challenge, which left him writhing in agony. The Everton midfielder, lucky to escape with a yellow card after planting his studs into Lovren's ankle. If I showed you my leg, then there would be headlines tomorrow, Lovren said. It was a tough challenge, but we've seen it many times before. I don't want to talk about that because if I do, it will all be in the newspapers. So he's obviously saying it was, I mean, it looked a bad tackle, and he's obviously saying it's even worse than how it looked.
Yeah, I can imagine that as well, because for me, it was reminiscent of the tackle from Neil Taylor on Seamus Coleman a week or so earlier. It was that bad. Another situation where he was maybe trying too hard, he'd broken through the lines. On the rare occasion that he did, he'd broken through and he was running at the Liverpool defence. There was a lack of passing options and he kind of panicked and he overran the ball. And a really ugly challenge, way too high up on Dejan Lovren. And I'm sure he's right, Dejan, to be honest. I'm sure that if you looked at his leg now, you'd wonder how Ross Barkley stayed on the pitch. We have to say, of course, that there was another tackle in the
Emre Can.
Yeah, and also in the December derby, there was one on Jordan Henderson, which sparked a little bit of a melee.
Sorry. Yeah.
So there's three off the top of my head where he's gone diving in. And Steve, if you watched them for the other 36 games of the season, you would wonder where this comes from. I have to be honest, because he's not known for getting into the thick of it and sticking his foot in. He really isn't. So I wonder if, as you say, maybe it's this kind of, he's the local lad. Liverpool didn't have too many in their team. Maybe he did wonder, it's my time. I'm going to be the Steven Gerrard of this derby. I'm going to take the bull by the horns and dominate this. And this is going to be my derby. It's going to be known as the Barkley derby. And once you kind of put that pressure on yourself, it's far less likely to happen, isn't it? I think, at least.
Well, I think those around him will have put that pressure on him last week, you know, whether it be family, friends. I think there would have been a lot of conversation about that. You talk about Liverpool. It was only Trent when he came on as the local lad, who did excellently, very nearly scored, didn't he? Mm. Look, we've given a few negatives about Everton. Let's talk about the positives for Liverpool as well. I thought they were excellent in various areas. Yeah. Lovren was superb. Lucas Lovren could have been man of the match. Philip Coutinho could have been man of the match. Now, he seemed to have the making of Pennington completely from the start. And his goal was superb. But anyone who watches Coutinho week in, week out knows that all he wants to do is get onto his right foot. And I'm sure Ronald Koeman must have told Pennington, but he's a young lad, isn't he? Those are the stages where you learn quite a bit.
Yeah, and he'd had a warning a few minutes earlier. I think it just after Liverpool scored the opener, Coutinho came inside and bent one that Robles saved, and then Jagielka cleared off the line. And that was his warning sign. He failed to heed that warning and he was punished. Pretty soon after, Everton had equalised. So that must have been very frustrating for Ronald Koeman. For me, Coutinho was head and shoulders above anybody else on the pitch. And it's interesting, we've just mentioned Ross Barkley and him not being able to maybe make that impact. There's not much difference in terms of age between Barkley and Coutinho. Coutinho 24, Barkley's 23. And yet they were worlds apart in how they impacted that game. He knew when to quicken the pace when necessary. He slowed it down when he needed to as well. And he made some very decent Everton players look really poor. And I'm not just talking about Matty Pennington, because, look, that's his first start of the season.
Yeah, he's a very young lad, isn't he?
He's a very young lad, and there was inexperience there. Of course, he was wrong to show Coutinho inside onto his stronger foot. Everyone knows that's what Coutinho's going to do. But Idrissa Gueye as well. Idrissa Gueye was breezed past for that second goal. And I think a few of those guys in front of Pennington maybe didn't give him the necessary support on the day. It's not just a question of isolating a youngster. Those Everton midfielders didn't get cover him as much as they maybe needed to as well.
Mm. First goal for Liverpool, Sadio Mane's strike, absolutely class. Really was. Now, I know people are talking about Coutinho's goal, but the way he's taken that into that area and then taken that shot was terrific. I mean, quick thinking, you know, deftness of foot. Some people question the keeper, Robles, who I think for the other two goals, definitely scratch your head a little bit at. I don't see how he can get that first goal. You know, he's flat-footed and the ball's cut across him. There's no way he's stopping that, is there, from Mane?
In mitigation, I've seen a lot of criticism for Robles for this goal. In mitigation, he didn't see the ball until very late. Mm. It was a catastrophe from an Everton point of view, I think.
Was his positioning wrong?
His positioning, he was maybe too close to his near post. the stills aren't flattering for him, but then stills very rarely are. The third goal was an absolute howler. I think
that's a horrible one to look at. I mean, if you're Joel Robles, you don't want to see that again. I mean, he didn't move. Div Okereke didn't even put it in the corner of the net.
No. And just going back to that first goal, he was unfortunate, Robles, in the fact that I think Pennington tripped Holgate up, and that was a kind of metaphor for Everton not really knowing what to do in that system. It was so clunky. There was a lack of width overall. Nobody really seemed to know who was picking up Coutinho, whether it was Idrissa Gueye dropping deep or Matty Pennington pushing up to kind of stop the ball at source. And it really wasn't one of Joel Robles' better days. Maybe that's planted a seed of doubt in Ronald Koeman's game. Mine, as to whether he's good enough to consistently be Everton's number one. Because as we've said, first goal, there's a problem. Maybe he's a fault for that one. The third goal, he definitely is. And that makes a massive difference on the day, doesn't it? This is Radio City Talk.